Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we're thankful to be here in this evening hour, and we ask thee that thy Spirit would make himself manifest in our midst. Father, we pray thee that reverently we would accept thy word into our hearts, and that we would absorb what thy Spirit would speak to us, and that we would, by thy grace, live for thee and do what thou wouldst have us to do. Lord, that we would be servants of thine, yielded unto thee. Lord, doing what thou wouldst have us to do, that in all that we say, that we might honor thee and glorify thee. For we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's truly a blessing every time we get together and we have this opportunity simply to sit together comfortably and to be around God's word and to be with each other and to know that we're going to be sharing God's word and we're going to have some prayers uttered and we're going to sing some songs, and it's just a blessing. It's a time of refreshing for our hearts and for our souls that we're able to be together. We spend our time together, perhaps when we're driving, we listen to something, a CD or whatever it might be in the vehicle we're driving, and those and as we pray and at our bedside, and those are all special times, and that's a very important part of our spiritual life. But it's a blessing when we can come together here now in church and be together as a body of believers and share God's word together. I was thankful for Brother Bob's prayer and the things that were mentioned there as we uttered them together to God. It's a blessing, and we encourage each other in this way that we have. A lot of times life gets busy. We have our routine, we have our duties, we have our responsibilities, we have the things that are going on in our lives, and a lot of it's It occupies our time, and it occupies our thoughts, and we want to plan, and we want to try to be as productive as we can, and sometimes our thoughts are just a little bit too much on the things of this life. Sometimes it is, and it's good for us now that as we are here together, that we can step back, leave those things alone a little bit, and think upon those things which are eternal. Think about those things which matter, not a lifetime from now, but 10,000 years from now. To think about those things, to think about those things that edify our soul, those things about glorifying God, those things that have an eternal perspective. And so these are blessings, these are times that we have together as we share and know that we can lift each other up in prayer and encourage each other in this way. This chapter that we read, a short 12 verses, is a second epistle that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write to those of Thessalonica. He had spent some time there as he was going through his missionary journeys, and it was a rough time that he had while he was in Thessalonica. He was persecuted, and he was chased out of the city and chased it down into Berea. But those that were believers there in Thessalonica remained behind, and they were suffering persecution as well. And so the Apostle Paul here was encouraging the brethren in Thessalonica, and not only him, but the first verse here says that Silas and Timothy were also part of this encouragement to the believers there in Thessalonica. And it's a word of commendation to them. He's uplifting them, and he's speaking to them saying, "You're the church in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," and he's wishing upon them grace and peace from none other than from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are words of endearment, words of encouragement, words of grace, and a help to their spiritual walk. And so he's encouraging them here with these words, and he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," meaning as it is acceptable, as would be appropriate, "because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." So here he's saying that he's bound. In no other way can he go about writing this letter other than through thanksgiving to God. Here is a body of believers here in Thessalonica that they have faith, and their faith is growing exceedingly. Their faith is growing exponentially. It's not simply growing as it would be, like as step by step, but he's saying that their faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity that they would have one toward another is abounding. And so as perhaps either the Apostle Paul is hearing about their faith and their love, or that he's seen it firsthand, he simply just thought that it was absolutely necessary that he thanks God that this body of believers had a faith that was growing exceedingly, and that their charity toward each other was abounding. Now consider this as we read the next verse. It says, "For we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your faith," for your patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So their faith is growing exceedingly. Their love for each other is abounding. Their patience and their faith is known abroad despite the persecutions and tribulations that they were enduring. So if we go back to the book of Acts and we read what was happening at this time when the Apostle Paul was going through Thessalonica, we see that the Apostle Paul was in the synagogue and he was reasoning with the Jews of how Jesus was the Christ. And there were certain Jews, the Bible says many believed, but there were certain Jews that didn't believe. And these Jews that didn't believe, they gathered together lewd fellows of the baser sort, the Bible says, and they made an uproar in the city of Thessalonica. And so these were what you would consider thugs. These are very, very bad people that the unbelieving Jews roused up and said, let's go after these believers and make it very difficult for them. And they did, and they assaulted the house of Jason, the Bible says, and they made life very difficult for the believers there in Thessalonica, and so much so that the Apostle Paul had to leave the city and go down to Berea. And so it is that the Bible here is saying that their faith grew exceedingly, despite the persecutions and the tribulations they were facing. Their charity for each other abounded despite the persecutions and the tribulations that they were experiencing from these lewd fellows of the baser sort. Their patience and their faith was evident despite all these things. So it wasn't that they had faith and it was growing exceedingly. They had love for each other, and they had patience because the days were sunny and easy. That wasn't so. They had faith that was growing exceedingly. They had charity one toward another, and they had patience because, or in spite of, the fact that there was persecutions and tribulations that they were enduring. And so the Apostle Paul is encouraging them and saying, you're enduring these things. You're enduring these persecutions and these tribulations. You know that there are unbelieving Jews that are making life very, very difficult for you. You know that perhaps your life is in danger because there are these lewd fellows of the baser sort, perhaps threatening your lives. But yet you have patience. Yet you're waiting on the Lord. And you're enduring. And so he's saying, continue to endure. Don't give up. Don't give up. Endure. Go through that. And then he says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer. So he's saying, you're being counted worthy for these things. Because despite the persecutions and tribulations that you are experiencing, your charity is abounding and your faith is growing exceedingly, and you're being patient. Therefore, you are worthy. You are being counted worthy of the kingdom of God. You are suffering, and you are being counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And so perhaps this is a theme here in this chapter, is that they were worthy because they were suffering these things, and yet despite the persecutions and tribulations that they were enduring, they had faith, love, and patience. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, knowing that the Thessalonians did not need to recompense to those lewd fellows of the baser sort evil for the evil that was done to them. No, they left it to God. And it's a righteous thing that God will recompense tribulation to them that trouble them. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it was, the Apostle Paul coming to Thessalonica, arriving there and speaking to all the people there, Jews and Gentiles all alike, and saying, this is what the Bible says, that there's going to be coming a Messiah, an Emmanuel, God with us, and he will forgive the world of sin by the shedding of blood, of his blood. And so the Apostle Paul was pointing how the pointing out how the Bible is pointing to Jesus Christ. And so some accepted and some did not believe that gospel that was presented to them. And so when these people here do not obey, and all people of today who do not obey the gospel of God, knowing that this is the good news, this is God's goodwill for all mankind, when we neglect that and say no thank you to the goodness of God, then we will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We will be excused from his presence, and And that will make hell what hell is the absence of God. But when Jesus does come, the Bible here says that he will be glorified, and we as his saints will give him the glory that is due unto him. And we will admire the Lord as he comes in that day, because we believe in him. And so, the last verses here say, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That verse is really, it captures a lot of thought. But basically it's saying that the Apostle Paul is saying that we will pray always for you, knowing that you're dwelling in the midst of persecutions and tribulations, but your faith is there, and we're going to pray always for you. And we're going to pray that you will be counted worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness, knowing that with God, he will provide. He will provide all that we have need of, and his goodness will be with us when we rely upon him, and that despite what's going on around about us, that we are looking to him, and that we believe the gospel that was presented to us. So he's saying here that he will pray always, and it's not coming to mind right now, but there was one in the Old Testament that said, I will not sin in ceasing to pray for you. And so there was a prophet, and I don't remember who it was, but he told the people that I'm not going to sin by stopping to praying for you. And so it is an obligation that we all have toward each other, not just a prophet toward his people or the Apostle Paul towards other believers or elders or ministers for the congregation, but it's a responsibility that we all have, that we would pray for one another, that perhaps we don't suffer persecution and tribulation as those in Thessalonica did, but we suffer in different ways, and perhaps it's loneliness, perhaps it's physical ailments, perhaps it's disappointments in life, whatever it might be, that we would pray for each other and lift each other up and encourage one another, and point out that we are having faith in the Lord God. And our faith is growing exceedingly, that we are abounding in love one toward another, and that we are being patient in the tribulations that we have, in the crosses of life that we have. So that's an obligation that we have as a body of believers, is that we would pray one for another. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all begins with grace, and it ends with grace. Just as he began this chapter, and he ends this chapter, that the prayer would be that the grace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would abound, and that we, by his grace, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, would glorify God in everything. And so this is how we would be counted worthy of this calling. Is by his grace. By his grace, we can be counted worthy and do what God would have us to do and magnify his name for who he is. And so, as we consider that truth, that we can be worthy before God, we have to consider first that we have to think of ourselves as unworthy to become worthy. And there's examples of that in the Bible, and perhaps we'll go through some of them, but it's a truth that we need to recognize that we have to feel unworthy before we can ever become worthy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking of the coming of the Son of Man in the Gospels, and he's teaching his disciples about the coming of the Son of Man at the end times. And he concludes this explanation to them by saying, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So this is how we will be able to be worthy to stand before the Son of Man at the last day. Jesus is saying, this is how we can be worthy, is by watching and praying. And again, as I began, is sometimes we get caught up in the routine of life and the responsibilities that we have and the duties, and sometimes we're a little bit too earthly-minded, and it's good for us to step back and think on an eternal perspective. And so we know that at some point, Jesus is going to return, and he wants us to be watching and praying when he returns. And if we're watching and praying when he returns and are not overwhelmed by the cares and concerns of this life, we will be counted worthy to stand before him at the last day. In the epistle to the Colossians, the Bible says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So this is another way the Bible is saying that we can be worthy. Just as the Thessalonians were worthy, we can also be worthy by watching and praying, as Jesus said. And then here in Thessalonica, here in Colossians, how it says that we would be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if there's an opportunity for us to do something good for somebody else, it may cost us, and it might be a benefit to them, but that's a good work, and that would make us to be counted worthy. Worthy before God. And that we would also increase in the knowledge of God. And we can only increase in the knowledge of God by reading his word. That's how we come to know him. That's how we come to understand him. That's how we come to grow in the Lord. That's how our faith will increase and abound, and our love for each other will grow, is by increasing in the knowledge of God, by spending time in his word and doing what he would have us to do. This is how we will become worthy and to be able to stand before God. In Revelation, Jesus says, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. There, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." They are worthy. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. How are they worthy? Because they have received and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they hold fast, and they repent. And so here are just a few verses in the Bible that teaches us how we might become worthy by watching and praying, by abounding in every good work, by increasing in the knowledge of God, by receiving and holding, hearing the word of God, holding fast, and repenting. We will stand before the Lord. We will be counted worthy. God will bless us. Again, we need to feel of ourselves that we are unworthy, that we might become worthy. If we recall the parable that Jesus taught about the publican and the Pharisee as they went up to the temple to pray, Jesus taught and said that the Pharisee, he stood by himself, and he didn't even want to be associated with that publican over there, and he stood and prayed with himself, and he says, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." He felt he was worthy. He felt that he was righteous. He felt that he was good. And the publican, he doesn't even come near. He stands afar off, and he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "This man went to his house justified." We will become worthy when we ourselves feel that we are unworthy, because there is no goodness of ourselves. There is no righteousness of ourselves that we can display before God. It's His righteousness. It's His goodness. And He makes us worthy because He is worthy. Even as it says there in Revelation, that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, honor, riches, and glory. He is worthy. And because He is worthy, we become worthy. Because He gave us grace, He gave us grace to have faith in Him. He gave us grace to love one another. He gave us grace to have patience. He gave us grace to watch and pray. He gave us grace to do good works and to increase in the knowledge of God. He gave us grace to receive and to hold the things which we have heard. And He gave us grace to repent. Without His grace, we wouldn't be worthy. We wouldn't be worthy at all. There was another man who didn't feel worthy, and yet Jesus glorified him. That was the centurion. So there was a centurion recorded in Matthew chapter 8 that had a servant that was sick of the palsy, and he was grievously tormented. And this centurion tells the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come," what he asked was that he would heal him. And Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, and I'm sure that we're all familiar with the centurion's response. And he says, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He didn't feel himself worthy. He didn't feel himself worthy that the one who was truly worthy would come under his roof. He had the proper disposition. And so Jesus, he takes this opportunity and he turns to those that were following him and he tells the multitude there, he says, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Here was a man who felt of himself unworthy, and Jesus takes this opportunity and tells the multitude there, there's nobody in Israel that I've met yet that has more faith than this centurion. He's not a Jew. He's not from the land of Israel. He doesn't have a lineage of Abraham. And Jesus is saying, "I have not found so great faith in Israel." We become worthy when we feel our unworthiness. We don't become worthy when we can puff ourselves up. If there's anything good done of ourselves, it's because of the grace of God. He gave us that grace. And so in all things, we have to put Jesus Christ first. Those in Thessalonica put Jesus Christ first. It didn't matter that they had to suffer persecution and tribulation to them. They put Jesus Christ first in their lives. And to them, it was more important to have faith and let that faith grow exceedingly. And to them, it was more important that they would that their love toward each other would abound. That was very important to them. And so they put Jesus Christ first. And so Jesus Christ here teaches in the Gospels that we believe. He teaches that we must put Jesus Christ first in everything. Jesus Christ says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." If our father or our mother is more important to us than Jesus Christ, we are not worthy of Jesus Christ. "And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me," Jesus Christ says. If there's anything in our lives, relationships, possessions, aspirations, goals, if there's anything in our lives that precedes Jesus Christ in our lives, we are not worthy of Jesus Christ. He tells us that very clearly and very plainly. By His grace, we can be faithful. By His grace, our faith can grow exceedingly. By His grace, our love for each other can abound. By His grace, we can pray for one another and encourage one another, and to recognize that our worthiness comes from Him who is worthy, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As mentioned tonight several times, of being worthy and unworthy. And I have to think of the scriptures where the Apostle Paul writes the way that probably we find ourselves feeling unworthily is because we have perhaps not found ourselves setting our affections on things above. And so he writes to the Colossians and he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." This is the only way, I believe, setting our affections on things above. Like was mentioned, it's so easy to get caught up into the cares and the concerns of this life. If we can turn that around and set our affections, seek those things which are above, it definitely will help feel more worthy. May God bless these words upon our hearts.